Nutmeg Radio.
Lauren and Nadia.
Nutmeg.
You are tuning in to Nutmeg Radio.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Nutmeg Radio. It's Loz and I, and we're bringing to you a conversation around the topic of surrender. The reason for this is I actually did an Instagram live the other day around surrender, and I've had a lot of feedback around it. There's a lot of people that are talking about it, and energetically, on a collective level, it feels as though we're all going through a process of surrendering into trust. And so I thought it would be really interesting to bring this in as a conversational piece to hear both sides of the coin, or, you know, two different perspectives on what surrendering can look like, because it is somewhat of a intangible topic. And I think it looks and feels different for each person, and it helps. Sometimes it's just that one person and that one perspective that says something in a way that makes you get it within your being, because it's the sort of topic that you can intellectualize until the cows come home. But until you're able to understand what that feels like within your body, it's really hard to do. It's something that's really challenging for us as human beings to wrap our minds around, because we're so used to trying to control everything. We want to control the outcomes. We want to control how we're going to get there. We want to control how it looks like. And we get a very clear mental picture in our image of how things are going to go, what things are going to look like when we're manifesting, or whatever it is, when you're working towards something that you want. And in us doing so and becoming so fixated and so kind of clung on to an idea, we lose the bigger picture and we lose the ability to be able to flow and see things that are outside of just what's in front of us. And hence we can miss opportunities, or we can miss signs, or we just don't see things in a bigger way, because ultimately the universe is always wanting to give us what we want. It always wants to give us what we want, but sometimes it's going to look slightly different to what we thought it was going to look like, but always it's going to be better. And I think we can limit ourselves so heavily by being so fixated on a thing and how you think it should look, that we are potentially cutting off opportunities that could potentially be amazing for us and our own growth and development, and just amazing opportunities, full stop. And I'm kind of interested to hear from you, Loz, that from the idea of surrender, what's your experience with it? Do you find it's easier for you to surrender in certain instances, or what's your experience?
It's kind of interesting when you think about it sort of from your birth, really, because when you come into this world, you have full surrender. You rely on your parents to help you through the first parts of your life. So you're in a full state of surrender. You're not in control. You are being held and nurtured by your family to grow. And it's something, I suppose, that as you grow with age, you lose that sense of surrender. It's almost like you become part of this system where you're told how you should live your life, or the things that you should aspire to achieve, or, you know, tick these boxes off. And I think for me, it's been a really interesting situation, because I think I've surrendered quite easily in my business and my career. I find that quite a natural, fluid thing for me. I have a lot of trust in the universe. I know that I have the skills and the drive and the kind of can-do attitude to be able to pull in my business and really excel in that part of my life. But then when it comes into my relationships, my love life, I find that really hard to surrender. I want to get to the finish line, but I feel like as soon as I get to the finish line, I'm not going to want to be there. You know, it's this weird thing of like cat and mouse. And it's something that I really struggle with because, I mean, I do this stupid thing and I try really hard not to do it. But, you know, if I'm like chatting to a guy, and I really hope there's no guys listening who I'm potentially chatting to, but, you know, I do this thing. I was talking to my friend about this the other day, like, what the fuck is wrong with us? Where you start, like, you see their last name and then you match your name with their last name. And then you're like, all of a sudden, you're like painting this picture of like, ooh, I might be Lauren Lala instead of like what my actual name is. And like, what am I doing? I'm like projecting. I'm not surrendering. I'm holding on to this vision that I'm making up in my mind. And at the end of the day, I end up in a state of turmoil because I've just held on to this thought in my mind and tried to get to some place that I don't even know where, and it never works out. So I think it's something that I'm definitely working on. It's part of my personal growth and my love life situation, to try and surrender and let go of the outcome and not do these stupid things like, oh, marrying myself off to old mate down the street. Like, that's not helpful. It's not going to get me to where I need to get to, you know? So I think for me, that is where I really lack the surrender, is in the love side, because I want my ride or die. I want to know who he is. I want to like have Christmas with the dude. I want to do all the things, but I'm not going to get there because I'm so like, I'm just not letting it flow.
And I mean, I think just something that you mentioned is really interesting, and a key piece is that we come into this world surrendered because we can't look after ourselves. And so we're fully reliant on our caregivers to look after us. And that's a lot of the time where the issue of surrender comes in, is because our needs in some way, shape or form aren't met as small children. And I mean, this doesn't mean that your parents weren't feeding you or changing you or whatever it was. It can be very much your emotional needs, because a lot of us, that's where the issue lies, is that our emotional needs weren't necessarily met when we were small. And that leaves this kind of space where we are traumatized in our own way, and we learn to become self-sufficient.
And sorry, but don't you think that's just like a natural thing though? Just to become self-sufficient? Like, isn't that just a natural progression of a human being, not exactly because of some sort of trauma response?
It is, from a certain age, not from a young age. From a young age, we need to be like fully surrendered and knowing that our emotional and physical needs are going to be completely met. And when they're not, that's when we can get to a point where we search for that in other people, we search for that connection or whatever it is in other people, or we shut it off because we've not had it in the past. And that if we can't get it, that's painful for us. And so, and this is all subconsciously, by the way. And so we shut it off. So that's where you can see like attachment styles coming into the play, because an anxious attachment is always kind of going to be chasing for that feeling of being attached. Whereas an avoidant attachment is going to avoid it. But the core wounding is the same. It's just they have different coping mechanisms of being able to use it. And so, yes, we want to become self-sufficient, absolutely, but we become self-sufficient in the wrong ways.
Interesting.
We don't trust that when we want something, it's going to happen. That's where this comes from. We don't trust ourselves, and we don't trust that things are going to be provided for, because at that young age, it's been demonstrated to us that it's not always the case. And potentially we have to look out for ourselves in some way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. There's this part of me that is, I mean, I don't know. I can't remember what my life was like at such an early young age, but I don't have this feeling of I don't know, having any like neglect and love or anything like that. I had like my parents are amazing and all of that kind of thing. So I don't know whether that's, I don't know, my ego coming in or me just going, I don't really understand, because I don't remember. But you know, I didn't grow up in an environment where there was, my parents were, I don't know, going through a messy divorce, or they weren't like there for me. So it's interesting to think about that from that perspective. But I wonder, is there something that could even come through from like past life trauma?
Yeah,
that I you mean, then bring
yeah.
in.
100% it can come through from past life. But the thing is, you with this stuff, you don't remember it because you're so young most of the time. And so you don't remember it until you go into like a subconscious space. And even then you might not necessarily remember it. But like with my clients, we go back, and oftentimes their first memory of a need not being met is when they're an infant, and they have no conscious memory of actually what it is, but they just know that that's when it was. And so it's, you reach it in a subconscious space, you don't reach it in a conscious space. And that's the thing, like our parents were all doing the best that they could, but for instance, you know, they might have been the sort of parents that if you were crying in the night, they let you cry it out, because that's a certain style of parenting, right, where you're left to cry out your emotions and self-settle. And so I'm just using this as an example of those parents aren't necessarily going to be classified as neglectful or, you know, not meeting their children's needs, because technically they are. But for you, as like a little soul in a body, that was traumatic, lying there crying and crying and crying, and nobody was coming. You, for whatever reason, you were crying, but nobody was coming. And so you had to learn to settle yourself. And so it's quite interesting from my perspective to look at all of these different ways in which people choose to parent and their styles of parenting. And I mean, I don't have kids, so it's not something that I like to comment on, because it's not something that I feel as though I'm qualified to, because you don't know until you're put in that position, and every child is unique in of themselves. And so I think that, you know, different styles of parenting is required across the board. But it's quite interesting to me now that people are a lot more conscious in the way that they parent. They read books, they're very, very, very mindful of the psychology behind the reasons why they're doing the things that they do. And even just using that example of like not going to see, you know, letting the baby cry it out or whatever, is like a good example of, there are lots of parents that don't do that these days. They don't agree with that method, but then there are still parents that they think that that's the best thing to do. And again, I'm not here to say that any way is the right way or the wrong way. It's just the how it could potentially affect. And again, everybody is different, but I'm just using this as an example of like how that can potentially affect our ability to be able to trust down the track. So it doesn't have to be some big thing of, there was a divorce when you were young and things were crazy. Obviously that is going to have an effect, like that is totally going to have an effect, but it doesn't have to be that. Oftentimes it's something that's actually so subtle that people would never consciously think that that was the cause.
It's really interesting, isn't it? Because yeah, as you say, I can't remember back then, but obviously something has gone down, because I have had, like, I just keep attracting the same guy in a different suit. And it's because I don't have that surrender, knowing that the universe will deliver my guy when the time is right, for the right reasons, in the right place, in the right time. And for like the past 10 years, I've been out there chasing, not surrendering, you know? And I think now it's got to the point where I'm like, I can't be doing this anymore to myself. And what is it that I need to change? What do I need to switch up? And it's literally just letting it go. Like, and everybody says that, it's like, oh, you know, it all comes along when you're not looking for it and you're not expecting it. And like, I remember in my mid-20s, literally just like letting it go. And just being like, right, I'm going to let it go and I'm just going to see what happens. And I did. I fully like let it go for like probably a year, I think. And then within that year, I had nothing. literally nothing happened. So I was like, well, that didn't work for whatever reason. And it's just, that's just not my path, you know? So now I'm getting into the state of surrender and just trusting this, the whole bigger picture that's going on. But it's the whole thing is such a head fuck, to be honest, you know? It really is.
Yeah. And it is really, you know, for you, for instance, like nothing happened in that year, but it's like, were you, you might have thought you were being let go around it deep down, were you?
Probably not, realistically.
That's where it comes from, is like that deep level, not the surface level of what you tell yourself every day consciously.
Mm. It's like I'm at the point now where it's like I've reached exhaustion. So I have nothing more to do other than surrender. It's like, it's literally like I've been swimming with my head just above water for so long. And I'm just so tired that I'm just literally going to put my feet up and just start floating. Finally, I've arrived here. So I feel like, well, I'm working on getting there. You know, I feel like I keep surrendering up. I keep floating to the surface. I float around for a little bit. And then all of a sudden I just drop back down. And I'm like, no, 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 no. His last name could look like my last name. Da, 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 da. And then I'm like, oh, what am I doing? Snap the fuck out of it.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I think part of it is really proving that you're not going to fall into the same patterns, because a new thing and everything that you want isn't going to happen within the, like, the same old patterns that you've been being tested in, you know?
And I think that's like the other saying is like stepping outside your comfort zone. And it's like, you know, you're breaking a pattern when you feel that feeling like you're stepping outside your comfort zone, you know? And I think for a while, I find it hard to sort of compute what it meant to break a pattern. And what that really, and it's almost like your head and your heart having a bit of a disconnect, and getting to a point now where it's like your logical mind can process like what you're doing is not getting the same result, but then your heart's like, I don't know how to do it any differently. This is just what is I've been doing forever. And it's kind of not until you really speak to someone like you, or I don't know, another, like just a really close friend of yours who can actually bird's eye view your situation and be like, hey, try this, or how about that? Because I think when you're so stuck in this sort of vortex of like holding on to things and gripping something because you don't want the sand to fall through the cracks of your hands, like it's going to fall through regardless, you know? And it's, if you can't see it for yourself, it's like trusting a person really close to you to be like, hey, stop doing that. And being like in a place of surrender to actually want to hear what that person is saying, and to then take that step forward in an uncomfortable way to get to that place of comfort eventually, you know?
Yeah. But again, being really careful about who you ask to do that for you, because I mean, we've all been in positions where you can be with a really close friend who does have your best interests at heart, but they can give you advice that is literally just you going back into the same place.
It's a difficult one.
It is. And sometimes it's, I think if you're trying to choose someone, that's why it's good to have almost someone who isn't emotionally invested as much in the relationship, but somebody who sees things from the way that you want to see them, or is in a position that you want to be.
But I also think it's quite interesting because, you know, you and I have spoken a lot about like embodiment and actually like tuning into your body. And I think from being in this lockdown and being in my own energy space for quite a long period of time, it's really fascinating when you hear something from someone and your actual body response and listening to that, I think is really important. So if you get a piece of advice from someone and they say something to you, and if your body goes, that's not a good feeling, then generally, that probably isn't the right kind of advice for you.
Yeah. And again, it comes down to sometimes we can be, if something that somebody's telling us to do is like outside of our comfort zone and we have a lot of trauma around that thing, that can be because of a trauma response as well. So that's something to also be aware of, is that your trauma is always going to try and keep you safe in the same spot. Even if the spot that you're in is actually really dangerous to you and is, you know, putting you through the ringer time and time again, it's quote unquote safer for you to be in that place according to your nervous system than to step outside that place, because it knows that. It knows how to deal with that. And so for familiarity, therefore, equals safety. And so you've kind of got to be able to release, because trauma lives in the body, you've got to be able to release that so that you can start taking steps outside your comfort zone, but also not be re-traumatizing yourself and going back into a trauma response and knowing the right steps to take. Because it's really hard to listen to yourself and your intuition when you've got a lot of anxiety and you've got cycling thoughts. And, you know, it's really hard to determine what your intuition actually sounds like, because you can be very out of touch with it.
It's amazing what you offer, you know, in your business state, because I think it's almost like imperative, I think, for people who are going through this type of thing to have someone like you, who's a trained professional, to actually come through with the know-how can do kind of situation to it, you know, instead of just flailing around and trying to figure out what is a trauma response, what is my intuition, what is my next step forward, is this the right thing for me, I'm now so confused, I've listened to the Nutmeg podcast and they're saying this, but I don't know what this resonates with. You know, there's a lot of messages around from a whole lot of different people, and I think it's been amazing for me and my personal growth to actually like have you as one of my homegirls to actually be able to help me see these things from that sort of outer perspective, you know. And the same thing as what you said before, you're not emotionally invested in, I mean, you are to a certain extent because you're my friend, but you genuinely want the best for me, but you do it from a place of like you have all the tools in your pocket to actually instill that, not coming from a, oh, I'll just try it out and see how you feel, you'll be fine, you know.
Yeah. Sometimes you float an idea with me and I'm like, do not fucking do that. Don't do that. Like most of the time I'll be like, you just figure out your thing. You know, we talk about stuff all the time, but sometimes you'll float something and I'm just like, no, like that is a no from me.
Which I need, because I'm just like, I'm so airy. I'll just go with the flow in like not the best way, you know? And that's when I need that kind of like, right, rein it in, mate, rein it in.
Yeah. And it's quite easy because I feel as though I have a good perspective on when people's egos are at play versus when they're actually speaking from their heart and when they're speaking from their intuition. Like it's quite clear to me. And yeah, again, hence why I think this work is just so important, because it's for, you know, when people hear the word trauma, they expect something huge has happened to you, you know, it's been like a big assault, or you've witnessed a murder, or somebody really pivotal to you died at a really young age, or whatever it is, which those are all traumas. Don't get me wrong. They very much are. And I'm not trying to take away from those. They're big traumas, but we are also affected by the little things in our lives as well. And that's where these patterns start. And I think it can be harder sometimes for people like you and I who had great childhoods, because we can look at our situations and be like, oh, but I had a great childhood. Why? That's not my thing. And I think, you know, I had this thought the other day where I was almost quite late to the whole self-development game, because it didn't start till I was about 29, really. And there were so many things that had come up in my life prior to that, like big, big things. And I always thought to myself, oh no, I'm not the sort of person that needs counseling or needs a therapist. That was my subconscious belief. I was always like, no, I can handle this myself. I'm a stable kind of person. I don't need that. And I think there's probably a lot of people that can kind of relate to that. Whereas thinking back, there were so many instances that, and things that I've been through, that having like an outsider perspective and somebody to actually be able to go into things with would have been so beneficial. And saved me so much time and, yeah, all of these things, you know, even if we're not just coming from it from like a processing point of view. But I think sometimes like when people have had a good childhood, they don't suspect that this is work that they need to do. And from my perspective, there's no way that you could have got through your childhood with there have been no traumatic experiences. And traumatic experiences are when you feel out of control in your system or your emotions feel overwhelming. And so basically you get cut off from your body. And that's why they live, those experiences live within the body. And oftentimes why a lot of people, while I do think that therapy is amazing for, it does work for a lot of people, people can get very stuck in there because you're just talking it out. You're literally just in your mind and you're talking about it. And so you can intellectualize the issue until the cows come home, but you're still in the issue. You're still repeating the patterns. You still feel the same. Nothing really changes except for the fact that you have a very good understanding now of what the issue is. So yeah, for me, it's about, and that's why, like for my new program, for instance, it's because I was seeing so much of the same stuff coming up time and time again. It's like, we all have the same stuff. We all have the same way in which we developed. Our experiences look very different, but our core woundings are quite similar at the end of the day. We all have similar things. And so that's why I designed this one, because we look at all of the main stages of development, essentially.
What I think is also quite interesting is, you know, like the more that I've become in tune with my entire being, my physical, my emotional, my mental, my spiritual, I've really started to notice actually how the physical things around me are genuinely like a reflection of like subconscious trauma and things that are going on inside me. For example, there was this quite like a catalyst light switch moment happened for me. So I have suffered with UTIs, bladder infections, since I started having sex at like 17. Literally every time after I'd have sex, like I would get a UTI and I'd do all the things, you know, you pee before, pee after, do all that, blah, 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 and always be on antibiotics. Like I remember driving home from my boyfriend's house at one point at like 3 o'clock in the morning because I didn't have my antibiotics on me and I had to go home and get the antibiotics, da, 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 da. And literally it wasn't until a few months ago I slept with a guy that I'd been like, I don't know, dating, whatever you want to call it. And it just was not a thing. Like it wasn't a vibe. He was just the same guy in a different fucking shell, basically. And it was really interesting because I have been on this very natural healing path recently. You know, I see a naturopath and I'm not putting, you know, I'm very holistic in my way of living. And I had antibiotics for a UTI with me for fear of this happening again. And what do you know, lo and behold, it started to come on. And I was in this place of like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm here again. I can't believe I've like this thing has like failed again with this other person. I am now at the point where I'm going to have to take antibiotics for a UTI when I've tried so hard for so long to clear my body of as many toxins as I possibly can. And now I'm staring down the barrel of, you know, having to take these meds. And I just felt so gutted on so many levels. Anyway, my friend, she is studying body talk, I suppose. It's sort of like Neuralink. She's explained it to me as basically it's when parts of your brain, the neurons don't connect anymore. So you end up getting these like infections. And she said to me, she was like, you know, you probably end up getting these UTIs because of the disconnect that happens when you're sleeping with these guys. You emotionally almost like detach yourself for fear of that happening in the end. And then it did happen because that's the pattern that has kept repeating. And so your body goes into the state of like, okay, we're going to shut the emotion down to process this because that's too intense. And because that happened, I then get into this, like, I don't know, state of having bacteria and all the virus, whatever. And she managed to do a lot of sort of muscle work and tapping work to sort the neurons and the links back out and back in my brain, sorry. And within sort of 24 hours of doing these exercises, like these physical exercises, I managed to actually get rid of this UTI infection that has literally changed my entire perspective on everything, because it just made me realize that there was a disconnect between my brain and my emotional state, which then in my body turned into like turmoil, and how important it is to not block the trauma out and actually let yourself process it and not go into these sort of flight and fight spaces.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yeah. Because you knew going into that what this guy was like.
Yeah, the red flags were already there. And as you said to me, I was trying to paint them green because I was not in a state of surrender. I was trying to hold on to this vision that, oh my God, he might be the one. I'll just give him a shot. Like, yeah, there was a couple of red flags, but it's okay. They're not that bad. And then look what freaking happened after that.
Mm.
And thankfully, I was like in a place to actually be able to digest and process and go down a different holistic path. And I was so grateful for that connection. You know, I connected actually the trauma of the physical, my physical body being like, stop doing this. This is why you are now getting these physical reactions, because you're not dealing with the emotional side of it, because you're not surrendering to this process, because you're holding on tight to this vision of what you want and you're chasing after the wrong thing.
Yeah. Our bodies tell us so much and we just ignore them.
Mm.
You know, it's like every second person these days has IBS in some shape, way, shape or form. And that's a psychosocial thing. For the most part, it actually has nothing to do with like food allergies. Like it's usually due to stress or whatever, but it's just become the norm. IBS is just one of these things that people have, like having really painful periods and really heavy periods. It's just become, it's not normal, but it's just become common. And so we don't do anything about it. And it's like our body is always, always trying to speak to us and communicate with us, because it always knows. Always knows. Once you start living in more of like a body wisdom state, you realize that your body knew stuff way before your mind knew stuff.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's why
foods that you crave and all of that sort of stuff, you know?
Yeah. And sorry, that's what I was going to say. It's just like that, you know, naturally I'd be like, right, I can't deal with this. I'm going to sit here and like sink a bowl of wine and eat a cheese toastie because it's going to make me feel better. But by doing that, I am now flooding my body with toxins. So I'm numbing the language of my body because my body is now trying to digest and get all this kind of stuff processed through my body. And it's, again, it's that disconnect that goes on in your brain. And it's so hard to catch yourself before you get to that point of self-sabotage to try and repair and recover. But at the end of the day, you're not actually going anywhere. You're just keeping yourself in that holding zone for it to then happen again, because you haven't processed it. You haven't learned your lesson. You haven't surrendered. You haven't trusted that there's bigger and better things coming. I feel like I'm coaching myself right now. I need to listen to this podcast again when I have this fucking problem come up.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, bringing it back to surrender, like it's a felt feeling, again, that you feel it in the body. It's not something you think about.
Well, do you have like any hang-ups in surrender in your state of play? Like what's your battles with surrender?
I mean, I said this in my life, but I feel as though surrender and trust have been my key learnings for this year. You know how people choose like a word at the beginning of the year and they're like freedom or whatever it is. And that's something that they aim to like base their life around and kind of embody that more and more. It's like their North Star, I guess you could say. Well, I didn't choose this. It chose me. I didn't choose anything in the beginning of the year. Maybe I should, because I don't want to be like given something again. But I feel as though for me, it was trust and surrender, because the two go hand in hand. And this entire year has been this kind of process of being able to trust myself in my business more than anything. And I think because I left, you know, I had another form of income at the end of last year, and I left that going into this with full trust. And so for me, this has been like very much a year of trying to embody that. And it's been a long process, honestly. It's not been something, and I think that's why, you know, I've almost got to the point now where it's so instilled in me to what, how this actually is, how this actually works, that I'm like, oh, okay, I kind of get why I was supposed to have this whole battle, because so I can help other people get to the same place, essentially. So I know it in and out intimately, and I can help other people get to the same place. But I would kind of go through these different things of different states of, I would get to point and I'd be like, I just want to give up. I just want to, like, I just want this all to stop. I just want to throw in the towel. I want to give up. And part of me was like, maybe that's surrender. And I think that that is a key thing, that sometimes people can think giving up equals surrender, but it's not. It's a totally different energy. Sometimes that can lead to a state of surrender, because you're kind of just like, oh, fuck, I just give up. And it's like, a good example is when people are desperately trying for a baby, they can't get pregnant, they're trying for years and years and years, and then all of a sudden they just decide, fuck it, let's just stop trying, and then they get pregnant. That's a good example of that happening. But I think for the most part, especially when you're looking to build a business, or even if you're looking for a relationship, it's about, you hold the vision, you know what you want, but you feel in your body that it's going to come. There's no chasing. And so, like, even if you hold your hand out in front of you and you picture in your mind what it is that you want in your hand, noticing that, like, the difference between a surrendered state and not a surrendered state is, not surrendered is like you're looking at it. You're looking at the palm of your hand. You're watching all of the goings on. You're looking at just that. You're not looking at anything else. And being in a state of surrender is, you lean back. You still have your hand there. It's still there. But you're also seeing the room around you, the space around you. You're seeing life and everything else that's happening that might be pulling you in certain directions that you're not going to be able to see if you're just looking at that thing and trying to mentally get yourself there.
I love that. Such a good little tool.
So it's like, even if you do it, like, you have your hand here with what you want and you just sit back. It's still there. Yeah. You're still holding it. You still have your energy behind it, but you're not micromanaging it.
Mm. It's funny as well, because I think it comes also back, like, I can think about, you know, I've had like a weight battle for a lot of my life and being so fixated, you know, like, have these like amazing, like, women with their fucking insane bodies on Instagram or on Pinterest or whatever, and just being like, God, like, I want to do that, and like killing myself at like fucking getting up early in the morning and doing these F45 things and going hard on it and then beating myself up for eating this and eating that and la 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 la. And then it was like, I don't know, it just kind of, a few years ago, I just went, oh, I don't give a shit anymore. Like, whatever. I don't have time to be worrying about, I don't know, if I've got a couple extra kgs on me, who gives a shit, you know? Like, I'm lucky I've got food around me to eat. And it was kind of like, as soon as I surrendered the whole body, the body mind talk thing around that, it's like, I've just, yeah, I surrendered to the body, and I'm probably the healthiest and in the best shape that I've ever been. And I don't kill myself at the gym all the time. And that's fine. If that's your way to work out, that's fine. But for me, that I was doing something that genuinely did not give me much pleasure. It felt like hard work. I didn't enjoy it, but I just, that's what the models do. That's what these, like, you know, these ripped women, that's how they get their bodies. That's what I'm going to do. Da, 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 da. And then I'd end up putting on more weight, feeling like shit. Again, just trying to grip onto that vision and not just leaning back, chilling out, and just being in my body and being like, okay, I feel like eating a cheese toastie this week, and I'm going to do that. And I don't give a shit. I'm like, that's fine, you know?
Yeah. perfect example of surrender. And I think another thing is like looking at all of the different areas in your life. And, you know, I was just saying to Lauren before we started recording this, like, I think she is quite surrendered in certain areas. For instance, in her business, it's kind of, there's always just like new bits and pieces popping up left, right, and center because your periphery is very wide. You have a vision, but you're not clung on to and mentally trying to figure out how you're going to get there. You just trust that the right people are going to come along at the right times and everything's going to fall into place. And it does. Mm. And it's like, how can you, and like, how does that feel for you? How does that feel in your body? And it's like, how can you then transfer that into other areas of your life? Same with the eating thing. And so like for anyone listening, what are areas of your life where you trust that everything's all good, everything's going to happen as they should? Maybe you are someone who relationships have been like that for you. You know, you met somebody like really easily, it all happened, they're your dream person, you're in this relationship and it's just ticks along nicely or whatever it looks like. And that to you is you being in a surrendered place because everything does happen. Yeah, there's always going to be challenges that pop up and all of that sort of thing. And it's just how you navigate them. But for the most part, things happen because you trust and you know that they're going to happen.
Yeah. It's a hard flex, but once you get there, and as you say, once you can establish what that feels like, and I think the whole palm exercise is something that anybody can do, and it actually gives you that feeling of like taking that deep breath and sitting back and just flexing that trust muscle.
Yeah, because you can actually feel yourself doing it too. Mm. And how it feels within the body.
It's literally when you let go and you let your trust in the universe prevail, that's when the good stuff comes through.
Yeah. And it's so yummy when it does, because it's like by surprise, it all just works out perfectly. And you could never have planned it like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Never. And there's like this huge mental component. It's actually mentally exhausting. Our minds use so much energy and we just use them for pointless shit, like trying to figure this stuff out when there is no figuring it out. I mean, yeah, there's a certain extent where you need, depending on what you're doing, if you're building a business or whatever, you need strategy, you need those sorts of things, but you also have to have the vision and the trust that it's going to happen and the trust in yourself that you're going to follow the aligned steps.
Mm. I think that's also key, is actually following the aligned steps, because you have to actually take the steps to get there as well. You can't just sit back, visualize it, and expect it to come rolling through the pearly white gates. You know, it's not that easy. Sadly, it doesn't work like that.
You know, like, and if it's dating, it could be literally you got the hit to change dating sites from one to another, or just to sign up to another one. Like, that could be an example. It's like you don't necessarily have to go and like do all of these things, but it's following the breadcrumbs, and like when you get those little pings or sparks of intuition, following those, the more you can do that, the faster things are going to happen.
Mm, love that. Well, hopefully this was a helpful conversation for those out there who are going through some things and finding it hard to lean into that trust and surrender, because yeah, it's definitely something that I am building upon, you know. Mm. I'm sure there's a lot of other people out there in the same boat.
Yeah, and I think it's something that it takes a little bit of practice too, you know.
Definitely.
Okay, so hopefully you guys found that interesting and informative, and some part of it potentially landed in your body, because that's what surrender is all about, is it's a state of being within your body and mind, but mostly your body. And yeah, reach out and let us know what you think. And I am enrolling actually for my group program at the moment, which is 8 weeks long, and it's all about transmuting your childhood traumas and recoding yourself with just more positive and empowering beliefs.
Amazing. Love your work, honestly. It's a game changer.
Yeah. So reach out if that's of interest. But yeah, otherwise, let us know what you think and how you are getting on with surrendering in your life, what your experiences are. Because we want to know.
All right, guys. We'll catch you next week.
Over and out.